Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
President Biden's top economic priority is continuing to make more historic progress, bringing costs down for people, doing the opposite.
What historic progress has he created in bringing costs down for people? The use of historic on everything, it cheapens the word. This is the Deputy Press Secretary, Andrew Bates, on Air Force One. His top priority is continuing to make historic progress, bringing costs down for people. We just talked where insurance cost is, where the cost of a Big Mac is. People are trying to get 24 ounces of beer and they're getting shafted, only getting 22 ounces. Doing a great job, a bang-up job. But the White House is convinced of this. Just like the White House is convinced that somehow Joe Biden is decent.
He directly addressed the vile comments that circulated over the weekend with a call to action saying that we must speak out against the alarming surge of anti-Semitism because silence is complicity. Like we said, while every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous, and they have no place on any college campus or anywhere in the United States of America. Echoing the rhetoric of terrorist organizations, especially in the wake of the worst massacre committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, is despicable. We are, of course, monitoring these situations closely. There has been alarming rhetoric that we want to be sure we are meeting our responsibility to speak out against. We will continue to do that. And that is a commitment the president made in the first ever national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. That is something he feels very strongly about. You all remember that he made the decision to run because of the anti-Semitic bile that was chanted in Charlottesville. And that is something he will continue to do.
Joe Biden will continue to speak out against anti-Semitism unless it comes from his party. That's what you meant, Andrew Bates. You meant that the president makes the claim of doing this, doing that, and doing the other. But when confronted by people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez, who so blatantly lies.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Peaceful. The same protests that you, the White House, just stated were anti-Semitic and has no place in America. Why is it that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, cannot lead? And how dare he invoke Charlottesville, where they make the claim that Donald Trump said there are very fine people on both sides, as if he was talking about those tiki torch, khaki pant wearing anti-Semites. And then he says this.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Oh, Lord only knows what he said there at the end. You condemn the anti-Semitism and then you condemn whom? Those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. Oh, so you're with the Charlottesville Nazis, right? Just get Joe Biden a pair of khaki pants and a tiki torch. You just said there are very fine people on both sides. You won't confront your own party's Jew haters, whether it's Ocasio-Cortez or Representative Omar or Representative Tlaib or Representative Bowman or Representative Cori Bush. You won't confront them. Why would I think that you are somehow a responsible leader with a moral core? Tony Katz. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. That's the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. Joe Biden has no moral core. Joe Biden has no decency. Now, this is the president of the United States we're talking about. No moral core and no decency. He has proven it time and again. He has proven that in the end, he has nothing. That whatever was in his mind at any one time is not there. But then again, if we go back to the days where he had his mind, he was too busy worrying about busing and creating a racial jungle. He was too busy going after Clarence Thomas. He was too busy hanging around with Kamala Harris said, the segregationists, right? What moral core did the man ever have? You see, I thought it was a bridge too far to call him a segregationist. But maybe Kamala was onto something. Which is hilarious to think that Kamala Harris ever had her finger on the pulse of anything. This is a time for people who have a bully pulpit to engage in levels of moral clarity. Joe Biden doesn't want that opportunity. Because Joe Biden is a political animal. And sometimes you don't have to say political. Whatever can help get him elected, he will say. Whatever group will help him get him elected, he will find himself a part of. And you say to me, well, what about Trump? I don't care about Trump. I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about the president of the United States. I have to ask how the Democratic Party finds its way to somehow thinking that he brings a value. How are they not just outright disgusted by this? Yeah, but Trump, we are not talking about Trump. We're talking about this. I am not a populist. I'm a conservative. And when I hear people engaged in populism, I push back. Because populism does not provide value. Populism does not come from a concept, a theory, a philosophy that has been worked out. It comes from a feeling. It is emotionally based and therefore problematic. Because people can have emotions, but when you act out upon emotions, only on emotion, there is no possible way to have something that is better. It can't be done. It just cannot be done. Yet today we see nothing but influencers, conservative influencers, and how they're, you know, not conservatives, they're populists. This leads to a whole theory about the medium is the message, which I will get into. And it was brought to me, and I'm just putting together some things I've heard here and things I've heard there in a conversation where I will give full credit where it is due. I will get to that in the weeks ahead. Joe Biden won't look at his Jew-hating, bigoted party and say, you're wrong. What does it mean to say, I condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians? Here's what's going on with the Palestinians. No other country in the world will take them. And the Egyptians and the Jordanians and the Saudis are willing to watch them die at the hands of the Iranians, the mullahs, the hardliners, and the clerics. They don't give a damn if the women get raped. They don't give a damn if the children die in a bombing. They don't give a good holy hell about the Palestinians at all. And by the way, neither do the people of Columbia University or NYU. Because the Palestinians are a freaking tool. They care about killing Jews, destroying Israel, and then destroying America. I don't have to be somebody who doesn't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. This is what you're going to condemn? The only person who doesn't understand Joe Biden is you. You unbelievable simpleton. Every member of your party is, except for John Fetterman. I've got John Fetterman. I've got Richie Torres. Every other member of your party, including the Jewish members of your party, are too afraid to tell you that you are harboring the people who want to bring about America's destruction. Tlaib, Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, Bowman, supported by people like Congressman Andre Carson of Indianapolis, and a whole host of others. The despicable Senator Chris Van Hollen. I have Congressman Eric Swalwell, who was so happy that border funding didn't pass. Ha ha, MAGA, you're never going to get your way. What was it? Was it something Ukraine? Svala, Slava? Like long live Ukraine? It's a weird thing to not want to protect your own nation, man. Super weird. And here is your party, Joe Biden, that's totally okay with a nation being destroyed because Israel's only step one. And moral clarity would be to state as clear as day, there is a good and there is an evil, there is a right and there is a wrong. And these people who support Hamas, these unbelievably ignorant college students who need history lessons like no one else, are supporting terrorists. We will not stand for it. We will not allow it. And I'm here to tell you as President of the United States that it is wrong. No matter what you may think of Israeli policy, supporting terrorists is wrong. Shame on these students. Shame on these universities. Moral clarity is very important, and we have none of it from the leader of the nation. You condemn anti-Semitic protests. You condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. That is not even a statement, except to say, I want to straddle the fence. I want to be on both sides, which is you supporting those in Charlottesville carrying tiki torches. Send your tiki torches and your khaki pants to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But don't send any of the fuel stuff. That could get you in trouble. I've said send the tiki torches and the khaki pants to Columbia. Send it to NYU. Send it to University of Michigan. Send it to Northwestern. Send it to Yale. These people are tiki torch carrying freaks. And the president is giving them more cover. It is difficult when you are somebody who clearly sees it. And that's what you are. It's difficult when it is obvious that American leadership is unwilling to stand up. But we should note the leaders who do, and we should say so. Even when they're on the different side of the aisle. Look, I am not going to tell you I'm voting for John Fetterman anytime soon, the senator from Pennsylvania. Where he is, for example, on the trans issue, not a chance. But to recognize that terrorists are terrorists and Israel has the right to exist, can you imagine that that's what passes for moral clarity? Richie Torres, congressman from New York, Democrat, man, that guy takes abuse hard. Israel has the right to exist. And these are terrorists, these Hamas, these Hezbollah, these Iranian leaders, and of course, their supporters at Columbia and NYU and all these other places. And he says so. Not his party. The leader of the Democratic Party says nothing. The leader of the Democratic Party straddles the fence. The leader of the Democratic Party thinks he set up a program, so therefore everything's better. Programs mean nothing. But if the president of the United States said, we don't support terrorists in this country, and what are colleges doing supporting such horrific acts and activities? It'd be helpful. It would at least show that somewhere we have a core. I bring this up to counter an argument that I find the most pathetic of all arguments. Republicans and Democrats are the same. There are many times where we are equally frustrated with the spending or equally frustrated with the lack of movement, the inability to defend the nation. And certainly one could argue that politicians find ways to make money and do things. We're not going to disagree on that. But the idea that there is no difference in the parties, this nonsense I cannot abide. Because there's clearly a difference. I didn't say the difference was stark enough. I didn't say there shouldn't be more differences, because I do believe there should be, when I say more differences, how I would view conservatives, and in this case, working through the Republican Party, acting, voting, believing, and pushing policy. And certainly I'm not happy about the fact that there's a difference in this subject, which is the very idea that we oppose terrorists and we oppose supporting terrorist organizations. But the Democratic Party refuses to oppose terrorists. The president, the leader of the Democratic Party, refuses. And I think that should be noted. I think that difference is real. And if you want to know what really scares me, is the people on the right, the populist, who seem to side with these people on the left way too often. So maybe it's not even about party. Leaders without moral clarity are not leaders. And soon they will have nothing to lead. I'm Tony Katz. I hate to follow up a Joe Biden thing with a Kamala Harris thing, but did you see this? It was a post on X from the vice president, from Kamala Harris. I've heard enough of that. And I would love to know context here, because she posted, nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. What made that come up?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only help that you'll ever need, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
I'm not sure. But that's not the story. The story is she posts this on X, formerly Twitter. And on X, they have something called community notes. So when somebody engages in a bit of falsehood, right, they engage in not telling the truth, people could say, hey, you have made an error here. So the community note is, as district attorney, Kamala Harris oversaw 1,900 convictions of marijuana offenses, some of which resulted in jail time. That is beautiful. Now, you can argue that she has evolved on the subject. You can argue, well, that was the law in California, and as district attorney, I did my job. Or you can say that you clearly didn't care what happened, and you weren't willing to stand up against legislation. You see this all the time. Prosecutors, I don't prosecute this, I don't prosecute that. Maybe this is actually a signal that she did her job. That, sure, she could have picked and gone about picking and choosing, but she did her whole job. But that's me engaging in a lot of spin in her direction. I want to know where the comment comes from. Nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. You mean like in their bedroom? Or like while they're driving and then there's a car accident? I just, I need context. That's what I'm looking for. If anybody has it, Tony at TonyKatz.com. Send it my way.
Do other student groups have this kind of target on their back, or do you feel that you are being targeted because of the fact that it is in solidarity with Palestinians and against what Israel is doing to Palestinians?
Oh, this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter-protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that, and they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being seen at these protests. And so there is definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that were sprayed us with the chemical weapons and the fact that there is no public information as to what happened to them, but rather the university is actively discussing what is happening to the students here and making it a whole public spectacle rather than when we haven't done anything to physically harm students, whereas those that sprayed those chemical weapons physically harmed students.
I have no idea what the daughter of Ilhan Omar is saying here about chemical weapons. There has been no conversation of this except from her, this keffiyeh-wearing communist who gets put on MSNBC, where the MSNBC host asks with pseudo-intellectual curiosity, it must be hard to be able to talk about what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. No conversation of October 7th, no conversation of the rockets that still get fired, no conversation of the hostages that are still held, no conversation about the weapons being utilized from Hezbollah to the north, the outrageous amount of rocket fire they have felt, never mind the 350 drones and missiles dropped by Iran, which supports both Hamas and Hezbollah, in an effort to kill as many civilians as humanly possible. Nope. Instead, at MSNBC, we get treated to this keffiyeh-wearing communist talking about chemical weapons, which nobody has reported, and of course, how she's homeless. How does one overcome their trauma when the trauma is the most interesting thing about them? Tony Katz today, what's going down, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. Poor, poor, poor child, daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar.
Oh, poor you.
What an unbelievable shame that you have the audacity to call yourself homeless. She got suspended. She got arrested. She was part of some vicious protests. This is what happened. She wasn't out there saying, we disagree with Israel. She was out there as part of a very large cabal saying Jews shouldn't be here and we should keep them from entering buildings or, in the case of some professors, being able to do their job. She got suspended. She got arrested. And as part of that, she wasn't allowed on campus. So now she doesn't have her dorm and she doesn't have her meal plan. She's going to starve. But she does have car service to get her to MSNBC. You know you don't walk to the offices. Oh, no. They send a car for you. If I do, in the days where I would go to the studio here in Indianapolis, they'd send a car. If I'm in New York at any hotel, they'll send a car. Of course they will. Very often I just walk because I like the walk. It's fun. It's enjoyable. But of course. So she didn't walk. A town car, a capitalist town car, picked her up and drove her to the studio, where she was then escorted to the green room, where there was bottled water and there were snacks and a nice, comfortable couch to sit in. Oh my gosh, what a difficult life.
Oh, poor you.
I can't believe it took me this long to get Grandma Soprano there, Tony's mother, on the soundboard. I'm having a total blank on her name in the show. It's her name as an actress was Nancy Marchand. Incredible. Livia Soprano. I could not remember the name Livia. Good Lord, it's driving me crazy. Back to Ilhan Omar's daughter. I haven't even bothered to learn her name. Keffiyeh wearing commie. The whole story of Representative Ilhan Omar is so unbelievably frustrating. this Jew-hating bigot, this anti-American zealot with the anti-American daughter. The daughter is an avowed communist. Here comes this woman from Somalia, a refugee. The United States, open arms, here you go. And creates a life and a career. Don't get me wrong, there's a whole bunch of weird stories. And if you ask me, did she actually claim to be married to her brother to stay in the country? It looks that way. But I'll let others finish the investigation on that. And why isn't there an investigation on that? And she becomes a member of Congress. Shouldn't we be looking at that to some level? All right, the brother thing notwithstanding. As like an American success story, look at how great America is. Then she has a daughter who gets to go to Columbia, Barnard. Isn't that amazing? Yet the mom is a Jew-hating bigot. The daughter is a keffiyeh-wearing communist Jew-hating bigot. The country that took you in, the country that allowed you to thrive, is the country you hate? Not that, hey, we could do things even better, which would be great. It's, hey, we want to burn it all down. This is the story. The story is that people like Ilhan Omar's daughter have no interest in creating a better nation, a stronger nation. They want to burn it all down. And they want to burn your kids with it. They do not care. They are not interested in a debate. They're interested in destruction. Completely interested in destroying. When you see these riots now going on at NYU, you see these riots going on at University of Michigan. Oh, well, University of Michigan isn't riots yet. That'll come. And everyone, of course, would say to me, how dare you say riots? What do you want me to call them? What do you want me to call what's going on at Columbia? Because I'll call it what it is without question. It's a pogrom. And sometimes you'll get it confused in your head and you call it a pogrom. Not a program. I do that from time to time because when I first heard the word, that's what stuck with me. And all these years later, I still have to work that one out. I don't know. I don't know why that happens, but it happens on some words. What's happening at Columbia is a pogrom. We are talking about how the Russian attacks on Jews in the Russian Empire. We're talking about Holocaust-related conversations. This is what it is. You don't let Jews move about the campus. You don't let Jews walk across the campus. You don't let them congregate. Oh, they're going to gather for Passover. It was the first night of Passover last night. I was with 14 others. I made 31 pounds of brisket. It turns out, by the way, Daddy knows what he's doing. Oh, by the way, in this conversation, I am Daddy. I know what I am doing with a smoker, kitten. There were leftovers. Please. Two pounds of brisket each with everything else? No. But Passover is a celebration of, getting out of bondage. From bondage to great joy. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Oh, Passover is an important story. Important story that needs to be told year after year after year. And will continue to do so. But when they gather on a college campus, here come the Jew-hating bigots to say, we're going to have a rally right next to them as an attempt to intimidate them so they have to move. As opposed to Jews standing up and saying, no, we'll take you. There's a fight. We're willing to fight. We're going to win. And then we'll finish our Hillel sandwiches. We're not stopping. Now, people are going to say to me, Tony, is that you advocating violence? No. No, it is not. The violence was when people decided to have their rally as a way to disrupt the Seder. I think one must push back on those things and not be disrupted. I don't think one has to kowtow to those things. And if we take it out of the religious in terms of talking just about Jews, we can apply this in a whole bunch of places. Like, for example, when people block traffic, it's more than just Jews who are affected. And I don't believe those people should be affected at all. I believe one must stand up to these bigots, and one must utilize force. Force must be utilized. One must fight back. These people are not allowed to violate the social contract. They are not allowed to engage in acts of intimidation. They must be pushed back upon so they know they can't get away with this nonsense. This nonsense takes a very unique shape with Ilhan Omar's daughter because she complained that she was homeless. She complained that, you know, she eats through the food plan and she couldn't get to her food. And 48 hours later, they said, well, here's some food. You can pick it up. 48 hours. Do you think she went hungry for 48 hours? Do you know there was a whole conversation? Where was the place having the hunger strike? Which was the school having the hunger strike? But during the hunger strike, they were brought sushi. Ah, here it is. It's the New York Post. The New York Post has the story. Anti-Israel hunger strikes at Yale decry capitalism. Radical anti-Israel protesters at Yale University were spotted munching fresh sushi Monday while supposedly engaged in a week-long hunger strike at the elite Ivy League campus. By the way, the Ivy League is trash. This is where the hate builds. These people think they're intellectuals. If Ilhan Omar is sending her daughter there, that's not where you go. You're making a mistake. And if the college is too dangerous for Jews to go to, well, then it's too dangerous for non-Jews to go to. Don't go to the school. Let Columbia fail. Who needs it? And people who still send their kids there are amongst the most ridiculous people in all the land. And they hate their children. This is my take. But let me go back to the story about Ilhan Omar's daughter. And this conversation of how she is telling people she's homeless. Well, of course she's not homeless. We know this is a lie. But why would she say such a thing? Why would she engage such a conversation? Well, like all communists, she lies. And all communists lie all the time. Lying is a feature of communism. But she says it because it allows her to attain victim status. Just like this whole idea of hit with chemical weapons. First of all, if you mean tear gas, I don't think you're going to be able to utilize the term chemical weapon. But I'm not believing her nor trusting her for a second. This is just a thing that she was saying. 21 years old. She has no life experience. She doesn't know anything. But she's a communist and thinks she should be able to lecture to you. And look, they put her on TV, so it must be true. Homeless. The line that I utilize, how does one overcome their trauma when it's the most interesting thing about them, comes from a book called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Now, full disclosure, I never read the book. The line was read to me by my wife, who did read the book. And whether she liked the book or didn't like the book, I don't know. Go to Goodreads and see the reviews. She thought the line was telling and shared it with me, and I will tell you that it has stuck with me. I've utilized it at conferences. I've utilized it on the show. I've thought about it repeatedly because, man, is that really, really good. How does one overcome their trauma when it's the most interesting thing about them? And you realize how that can be applied into looking at how these so-called protesters, these bigots who want to burn everything down, how they act, how younger generations act. And yes, some people who are older, look at this thing that happened to me, and they keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And you have to be told about it and told about it and told about it over and 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 over again. That was a lot. Because it is the thing that makes them interesting. It makes them valuable. It gives them what I refer to as reputation capital. It allows them to show an expertise and an importance on a subject. Just so we're clear, experience is not expertise. If I go through something, it doesn't make me an expert on a thing. Neither does being born a certain way make one an expert. I'm Jewish. It doesn't make me an expert on the Holocaust. It doesn't mean that a black person is de facto an expert on race or slavery. Absolutely not. Expertise comes from study. It comes from research. It comes from scholarship. It comes from knowledge. That's where it comes from. But the idea that the trauma makes you interesting means that the trauma has to be the centerpiece of your life. As opposed to what a healthy person does, what an adult does is overcome trauma to be able to go about living a good life. But for these people, what the progressives have taught, what the elitist likes to foster. The trauma is the everything. The trauma is your badge. The trauma is your shield. The trauma is your reputation capital. The trauma is what you are. You can never get past it because there is no desire to get past it, because it in and of itself is the thing that is valuable. Ilhan Omar's daughter was never valuable until she got arrested. And now she's homeless. Now she's going hungry because they took her food plan. And the craft services over at MSNBC in the green room only had Pringles.
Oh, poor you.
Don't care about Ilhan Omar's daughter at all. She's a terrible person. Now, maybe she didn't have a chance with a mother like that. Maybe, like a lot of people, they learned to overcome their trauma. But you understand that she is just emblematic of a lot of these campus, well, bigots. These campus hateful, whether they be the student or they be the administration. That's all she is. And I should be clear that saying that's all she is doesn't make it any less dangerous. It is dangerous stuff to not get past your trauma and get on with your life. But not getting past your trauma is what these people are all about. And then they lecture to us. My first bit of advice, take no lectures from them. Never take lectures from commies and bigots. Just know where they are. I'm Tony Katz.
Protest, that's why I set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
That's him trailing off into nothingness, but that's the president being, I see good people on both sides. That's Joe Biden taking the side of the Charlottesville Nazis. What? It isn't? Of course it is. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. More on this tomorrow, everyone. Take care.